2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we living in perilous times? Do you think so? I know we are, from all indications. So the way things are going, you never know when it's going to strike right here.
Yep.
It's striking at home. And we don't have to have people from the foreign soil to come over and give it to us. We can have people that are raised up right here in the United States of America to do foolish things and commit murder and walk into schools and ask people if they're Christians or not. They say yes, they shoot them.
Yeah.
And then they begin to criticize Ben Carson for what he said.
Yeah.
He said if those kids knew what they were doing, maybe they had lost one or two, but the whole crowd had stormed that guy, it had been over.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Now they're attacking him for what he said.
Yeah.
We're living in perilous times. Also know ye that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Boy, you talk about natural affection in these days. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Our Father, we pray that this morning that this message will be a help to all of us. Thank you for the things that we've heard already today and from hearts that are broken because of sin and broken because of their love for foreign people and those who are living in such horrible conditions. We take our hats off, Lord, to this precious couple as they go back. Deal with all of those in sin, and the devil's going to fight them hard.
Yeah.
But we know that we have a greater power than Satan, so bless. Bless in this hour now, and bless the rest of the day for all of us and these dear pastors as they go back to their churches and serve. We thank you for loving them and loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible teaches we're in perilous times. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And you've heard it said it was not Adam and Steve. So the Bible is teaching us we're living in a time where anything can happen. Wars, rumors of wars. I'm going to read some from 1 Peter, or 2 Peter. And the Bible teaches us what is going to take place. This second epistle in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. This second epistle, I beloved, now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Is this today or not? Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But behold, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish. We're living in perilous times. We're in a place where we look back in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And then He made Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. It doesn't make any difference what the laws of the land are. We can have one man. We can have one man that can make a law that will affect every one of us in the United States of America. And it's not the president. When the Supreme Court is tied 4-4, there's one man. One man that making a decision. And we thought this is going to be a great man. He made a decision that's ungodly because it's anti-Bible.
Right.
And I don't care who in the world makes decisions like that. It's of the devil. It's not of God. But the Bible says we're in perilous times, so what should we expect?
Yeah.
That's what's going on today. And so the Bible says in verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 3, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish. We're to grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is out to get us, preachers.
Yes.
He's out to get us. He's doing a pretty good job. And we've heard some national names that are supposed to be preachers and how they've fallen. And the devil's going that direction. He knows it's harder to get a good, independent, Bible-believing fundamentalist than it is to get one of these charlatans. And so that's the way he's working today. But he's working his way up.
Yep.
And we need to be on guard. And the devil's doing everything he possibly can to ruin us. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Not a woman for a woman and a man for a man, but a man for a woman and a woman for man.
Amen.
And you can't change that.
Right.
And I don't care what the people of the Supreme Court say. I don't care who is making the land for the country. We go by God's book. And we go by the Bible.
Right.
And that's the way we should live. And that's the way we should go. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. No, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel. Samuel chapter 11. Now, I want to say today that we need to be on guard. All of us here believe the Bible. We try our best to live by the Bible. That's the reason you and I are under a fierce attack in these days in which we live. So we have to be on guard. Every one of us.
Right.
The strongest Christian in this building that pastors can fall right in front of our eyes.
Right.
If we're not on guard. Now, I want you to notice how the devil works. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see that David is a king. Now, he was a man after God's own heart. He's a special man. God called him. He faced the giant. He was not afraid. Just a youngster and went out and you know the rest of that story. Now he's king. Does that mean he doesn't have any trouble with the devil? Absolutely not. Now, we ask our question, if the rapture were to take place today, right now, would you be satisfied with your spiritual accomplishments during your lifetime? And I ask myself that same question. Now, the devil is doing everything he possibly can to ruin us. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, here's a man after God's own heart. All of our spirituality together would not measure up with King David. Now, that's a matter of opinion, but I believe that's the truth. Not one of us would have faced that giant like he did. In chapter 11, and it came to pass after the year was expired. Now, here's the king. At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Here's a man that was supposed to be leading the battle. Here's a man that defeated a man 3.5 feet taller than he was with one single stone. And now, he's supposed to go to battle, and he tarried in Jerusalem. Now, Satan's after his preachers. He's after you. He's after me. He glorifies when we fall. If one preacher in this crowd would fall like David did, it would ruin many preachers.
That's right.
It ruined many Christians. But the devil is at work today. And so I'm saying this, that we should all be aware that the devil is after us. You should say, Satan is after me.
Right. Sure is.
And every time we pray, we need to realize that. So here's David now. He's out of place. He was supposed to go to the battle, but he tarried. And the Bible says, he tarried at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look to. So he had time on his hands. He tarried. And then he looked upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. All right. He had time on his hands. He was tarrying. He had nothing else to do. And he took. That's a method that Satan is using today to tear down some of the highest preachers that are fundamental preachers in our Baptist ranks today. Now, I'm not going to name anybody, but all you have to do is sit there and think a little bit. That's all you have to do. So he had time on his hands, he tarried, and he took. David sent messenger and took her. And you know the rest of the story. And then he tried to cover up his sin. And he sent for Uriah the Hittite. And he thought, well, he's in the battle. And sure enough, he's going to go in and spend time with his wife. And then Uriah will think it's his job. So David is doing his best to cover up what he did. You can't cover up sin. You may fool somebody, but there's one person, and that's Almighty God. And you can't fool him. Now we say, well, there's some big sins and some little sin is sin. It doesn't make any difference. how big we think it is or how small we think it is. Sin is sin.
Right.
And the Bible says in verse 4 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, "And David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him," and you know the rest of the story. So what did David try to do? He tried to cover up his sin. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times where there's wars and rumors of wars. Satan knows that his days are limited. And he's on the warpath today. So David fell into deep sin. You say, "Preacher, why are you talking about this?" Every one of us are in the flesh.
Amen.
And every one of us is capable of falling into sin just exactly like David did. And the devil uses three things. He had time, he tarried, and he took. This Bible tells us exactly what to do. Satan has a calculated plan for causing us to fall. He wants to ruin us. Can you imagine what would happen if you fell into sin? Can you imagine what would happen in your community? And the confidence that people have. The devil is doing everything within his power to cause us to sin. He's doing everything within his power. He has a calculated plan. He knows he's lost us. He knows we're saved. He knows we're going to heaven. And so the Bible is teaching us very clearly what David has done. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to Psalm 1. David had time. He tarried. And he took. Now, Psalm 1. When you know the devil's tactics, it's easier to combat those tactics. And you can see them coming in. In Psalm 1, "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You see, if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, if you stand in the way of sinners, you'll sit in the seat of the scornful. And that's the way the devil is working today. He's wanting us to fail. He does not want us. He does not want us to succeed. You walk, you stand, you sit. I called on a man to dismiss in prayer when I was associate pastor with Herb Fitzpatrick in Connersville, Indiana. And I said, "Would you please dismiss in prayer?" And the man did, and Walt came up to me and said, "I wish you wouldn't call on him anymore to pray." I said, "Why not?" He said he was gambling out at the shop this week. I went right straight to him. I said, "Bud, word has just come to me that you were gambling." Let me tell you, Bobby, what I was doing. It was lunchtime, and I'd already finished my meal, and I just got to walking around, and there were some fellas there, and they were playing cards and had some money out on the table, and one of them got a telephone call. I was just standing there watching them, what they were doing, and that was a bad thing to do, just standing right there. He said, "One of them got a telephone call," and they went to the phone and said, they asked me, he said, "Bud, take my hand." He said, "I did." I said, "Bud, it ruined your testimony."
Yep.
Right there, it ruined your testimony. And he dropped his head and he said, "That's right." You see, Bud got early, finished with his meal.
Yep.
He just started going around and lunch, and he stood right there and watched him play cards. That's the first mistake he made.
Yep.
He just stood there. And the phone rang and the guy left. would you take my hand? And he dropped his head. He said, I know when I did it, I shouldn't have done it. I said, but it's ruined your testimony. Now you got to make that right. And that's the way the devil works.
Yep.
He works that way. I'm saying all this to say he's after me.
Yes, sir.
He's after you.
Yep.
If you're born again, and especially if you believe the Word of God, and especially if you're an independent Baptist, the devil is out to get you. Now, these are some that we know about. But if we can see this thing, we can be on guard. And we don't need to walk around wondering and looking. And we don't need to walk around because we'll be standing and we will be participating before long.
Yeah.
So we need to know how to live. So here is David. He had time on his hands. He tarried. And he took. Then what do you try to do? Try to cover it up. God sees all and knows all.
Right.
The eyes of the Lord are to and fro. He knows everything we do. He knows our thoughts.
Right.
He knows the intents of our hearts. And the Bible teaches us here in Psalm 1, blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If we don't do that, we have delight in the Lord. But when you have time on your hands, it starts happening and starts just exactly like this. Three steps Satan uses to deceive, and the remedy is to look to the Lord and don't have extra time on your hands. When time starts to fade away and you say, well, and it happens. So the Bible is trying to teach us how to live. Now I want you to turn with me to James. I want you to turn to me with James chapter 4 and 1, verse 15. James chapter 1, rather. Chapter 1 and verse 15. I'll get there in just a minute. All right. James. In this one, I got my pages are so thin, I have to handle them. I tear them so easily. In James chapter 4, the Bible is telling us very clearly the same process that Satan uses.
James 1.
I'm sorry. James 1, thank you. I'll get it in just a minute. Get my patience. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death.
Yep.
There it is. That's the devil's LSD. Son is lust, it's sin, and it's death. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Yeah.
Folks, we're living in perilous times. It is a time when the devil is going to deceive the very elect. We need to be on guard. We need to do what the Bible teaches us to do. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you will, please. We're living in perilous times, 2 Timothy 3:1, and then turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. If there's a way today that we can learn from these few moments together, it will help us as we live. I'll get there in a minute. Just be with me in a minute. All right. Peter is giving us a warning. And I believe this is the time we're living in right now.
Amen.
This is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye out to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish.
Amen.
Now, the Bible is teaching us that we're living in perilous times.
Yep.
And according to this, the Lord Jesus Christ can come at any moment. Wherefore, beloved, in verse 14, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. Here is a man after God's own heart. A man that God had filled with the Spirit, a man that was chosen and anointed by Samuel, and a man that accomplished great feats. And here is a man that was stronger and more accepted in God than any one of us here in this building except for our salvation. And this man was the king. And this man fell into sin because he had time. He was staying at home. And then he fell. And this is death. So what was David supposed to do? He started covering it up. He brought in Uriah the Hittite and sent Uriah to be with his family, be with his wife. And he made meals for him and everything. And Uriah had more character in his little finger than King David did in his whole heart when it came to this. And Uriah said, I'm not going in. You see, David was trying to cover up his sin. Now, if God cannot stop a man after his own heart from going into filthy, deep sin and then trying to cover it up, what do you think? He's got his sights set on us.
Yep.
He's doing everything he can to get to us. In some way or the other, he's not going to stop. Now, if that's the area of sin, and there is a sin that does so easily beset us, and if that's the area of sin, and I'm driving by that area every day, and I'm looking at that, and it's attracting me, then I'm under the devil's watch care, and he's doing everything he can. He doesn't break us down all of a sudden. I mean, it's just a little bit at a time. And if I'm going home from work every day and I have to pass this place, whatever it is, a place of ill repute, of pornography, whatever it is, and I have to pass that every day, you know, I've got enough sense to know that I better take another route. It may take me 5 minutes longer to get around
right.
but I'm going to take another route.
That's right.
I'm not going to go that same way. Now, the devil is the devil, and he wouldn't be the devil if he didn't muddy the stream at its source. And he's doing everything he can to cause us to fail. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The devil is after you. He would delight for any one of us to fall. He would delight for all the pastors that preach the Word of God if they got into sin. And it's happening.
Yes.
It's happening. You say, it'll never happen to me. King David had a lot more convictions and principles than any one of us. Probably all of us put together could not match King David. Man, after God's own heart. So don't let your guard down, preachers. The devil may have something that he's preparing as a trap in the future for you. It may be a month away. It may be a week. It may be 2 years away. But slowly but surely, he breaks down our resistance. And slowly but surely, he's trying his best to cause our followers to turn away also. Because when a preacher falls, your whole congregation is gone.
That's right.
So the Bible is teaching us very clearly how to live and what to do. And so the Bible is telling us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible is telling us to be a soldier and don't get entangled with the things of the world and strive lawfully. And remember that Jesus Christ, Son of David, is raised. We believe all this and suffered and so forth. Now, the Bible says to us, nevertheless, the foundation standeth sure in verse number 19. And then down in verse 21, if a man purge himself from these, all of these things that will hinder and cause sin to come into your life, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that's set apart and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now, preachers, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. For the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach in patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, the devil wants us to block out this chapter in our hearts.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to read the Word of God. He doesn't want us to be filled with the Spirit. And he could be laying a trap for any one of us that he doesn't intend to spring for another month or 2 months or a year. We're not going to name those that have fallen, but you know what the devil does and how he works in our midst. And I think the preachers of God, they're the people that try their best to preach the Word of God to dying people, those are the ones that are in his sight. And he's doing his best to cause us. In Psalm it says, blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, nor sitteth not. And in James chapter 1, the Bible says, there is lust, there is sin, there is death. We need to be aware of Satan's tactics. And we need to do everything we can to follow in his presence and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption.
Amen.
It seems like the law of the land is the way of the world today. We were disappointed.
Yes.
Because of this thing that men can marry men and women can marry women. Never thought that would happen. But it's happened. And the Bible says that the Lord is deceiving, Satan is deceiving the very elect. But the Lord is strengthening those of us who know the Bible to be what we should be. And the Bible is teaching us how to live. Now remember, if you have extra time on your hand, you'll probably start tearing a little bit. And when you start tearing, then you'll take. Walk right, stand right, and sit right. The Bible says that there is lust, there is sin, and there is death. Do you want to face the Lord with the way you've been living? No. No. What do I need? Revival for my soul. Walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way if we trust and obey. The Bible is telling us to live for the Lord. Let's look to one other verse, and that's in James chapter 1 and verse 15. Hebrews, James, chapter 1, and verse 15. What would we be without the Word of God? We're just nothing. I hate to get another Bible, but I can hardly change these pages. James 1:15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the devil's LSD. And James says, do not err, my brethren. In verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree recognize in that he is exalted. But the rich, he is made low because of a flower of grass. It shall pass away. The Bible is telling us and warning us. The LSD of the devil is lust, sin, and death.
Yep.
But in verse 18 of James, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. And so the Bible is teaching us to beware, to live right, where to preach right, where to dress right, where to walk right, and where to do things because we are examples to our congregations and to those we minister to. The devil is after us. If you don't know that, well, then maybe you've never been born again. Because he sure does follow our trail around. Everywhere he'd go. Instead of being built up in the Holy Spirit, the devil would like to tear down everything that the preachers have said during this conference. He would like to put doubts in your mind. He may be working on some of us right now. We don't know what his plan is. But he does know his days are limited. And he's trying to take as many as he can with him. And he doesn't have to worry about the majority of the people in the world. But he's worrying about us.
Amen.
And this ought to cause us to be dedicated in a more holy way to the work that God has called us to be and do, and we should warn our people that Satan is real. He's alive. He's going to do everything in the world. He was not satisfied with the purity of Adam and Eve, and he's not going to be satisfied with the way we live. And as long as we stay in the book, he has no warfare against the Word of God. He was a second power to God, and he's been upset ever since he was cast out of heaven. And he's trying to get back to God through those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that these words will be used.